Hiztab fam. Oh, one more. I got one person. Good morning, Hiztab fam. Woo, there we go. Are y'all awake this morning? I hear you. All right. So we want to welcome any guests in the house this morning. If you're a guest, can you just give me a hand raise here? I see you. I see you. Hey, that's awesome. So after service, we do have a guest reception. So on the right side, this hallway, a couple doors down, it's going to be our connect room. We got some snacks, coffee, best part of being in there. Get to meet some new faces, get connected really well. We want to welcome our live stream. Thank you for joining us. And we got some announcements for you quick. Can y'all hear me good? This mic's making me a little nervous. I ain't lying. Cool. So we have a candy drive. We do Harvest Fest every year. It's great. Thousands of kids come handing out candy. It is amazing. So we want to just give your, if you want to give your candy donations, bring a bag of candy. You want to give it, it's there's a place out front in the foyer. You can just put your candy right there for the kids. If you're between the ages of 18 and 30-ish, we do have Awaken Monthly. This week, I think this week they're doing, flannel. So it's like your favorite fall stuff. I love flannel. I got me a bunch of them now. So they're great. Got Isaiah hyping me up in the back. Appreciate you. And then if you're over 50, we do have a senior breakfast. Those are every Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesday, October 13th. Yeah. And then every Wednesday from here on out, 9 a.m. Go get some food. I didn't even know. Not every Wednesday, just the 13th. Oh, once a month on a Wednesday, if you're 50 and older, we do have senior breakfast. It's really good. I've been to Curly's like one time for breakfast. It was amazing. And then, this week we do have it's Pastor Appreciation Week. If we could all just stand up and just give honor to our amazing pastors, Pastor Rhonda, Pastor Spencer. We just thank you for everything. You guys are amazing. We love you. I don't know who I get this next to. I don't know. Do you guys?
Yeah. Oh. He has to say that. He's my son-in-law. He knows I'll cut him off.
Wow. Well, he's perfect, so.
Who is?
Antonio.
Oh, I thought you said I was.
You are perfect, too.
Amen. What a great day, isn't it? Aren't you glad to be in God's house?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad? We want to pray. We want to take a few moments. We want to pray for our church in Canada. Today's a very big day in Canada. Our church that is there will probably be not. Are you grabbing my arm for a reason, or?
I just want you to say it in the most positive possible
I
way
am.
That you can.
I'm going to say that there were 100% last week. I bet there'll be 150% this week. So for those who don't know, our pastor was served this week in Canada for singing in church. And they actually breached his home. They entered his home without permission to give him a court order to be in court in 2 hours, or they were going to put him in jail. And so they're actually experiencing true, genuine persecution today. So they were told they can't sing. They're going to sing this morning. So we need to pray that Pastor doesn't get arrested and put in jail. That is real. That's not like fictitious. That is real. This morning, if they sing, which he said, I'm not compromising, we will sing, we will worship God. And if the Board of Health, which they are targeting, he's the only main church being targeted in all of New Brunswick. And so if they walk in there, which they have a right to do, and they're singing, then they'll probably take the pastor out in handcuffs. So we want to pray for Pastor Phil and Pastor Jamie today as they're experiencing. Isn't that crazy? I remember they told us here we couldn't sing. I told them to go pound sand. I said, we're not California. You know, I mean, honestly, they tried a lot of that stuff with us here. But in Canada, it's a different country. So we just need to pray. Father, we pray for Pastor Phil.
Yes,
we pray
Jesus.
For Pastor Jamie and the entire congregation of His Tabernacle Canada. Lord, we pray the angels will be set out in front of that building in Jesus' name. We pray, God, that those that are against your house, Lord, will have an experience with you today. That God, even as I've heard so many different times, even in different countries, where they are able to see an angel for just a moment and it scares the living hell out of them. I pray, God, you'll scare hell out of them so heaven can get in this morning in the name of Jesus. God, use Pastor Phil in that church to bring revival to the entire
yes,
province of New
you,
Brunswick,
Jesus.
Canada. That God, your name will be lifted high. Your name will be known and you'll be glorified. So Jesus, we just thank you for their boldness and their willingness to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. In Jesus' name. Now fill this room with your presence. Fill this room with your glory. God, we're not here to have church. We're here to be with you. We're here to experience your love. We're here to experience your power. We're here to know that our God is not dead, but he's alive. Fill this room with your power, God. That Jesus, we will honor you with all that we have in our inside. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's worship, amen.
His Tabernacle. Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? Good morning. How are we doing today? Are we excited to praise God this morning? Okay, come on down to the front and you guys can sing this with me. Say, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Come on and sing that out. Say, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, everything you've got.
Power, wonder working power.
rejoice. Give God a shout of praise today. He's mighty, isn't he? He's mighty in battle, isn't he? And he always comes out victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're so amazing, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for everything you've done for us.
More than we could ever know.
shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. And all the glory. And all the honor. And all the praise. All the praise. We'll sing hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing all the glory. And all. I was having my devotional time with the Lord this morning, and I was bent over and just full praise and full just surrender to God. And he showed me someone today, either over live stream or in the audience or in the congregation. You can't see out of your left eye. If that's you, just believe that God is going to heal you right now. Just believe that God is going to heal you and praise like God is healing you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of infirmity, and I command you to leave in Jesus' name, and that eye open right now in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory and all the honor today. Hallelujah. And that's why we sing hallelujah. And all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise, all the praise. And somebody's having pain in their left or their right arm. I don't know who that is, but you're having pain in your right arm. Right now, Jesus just released it and you are healed. If you are healed, come on and clap your hands this morning. Come on and clap your hands this morning and start moving your right arm like you can use it. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Give God the glory this morning because he is worthy. He is worthy. You are worthy, God. And we'll sing hallelujah. The glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory. As I bless your holy name, and you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you, and there is no one else like you. You are great. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every victory is yours. Every victory is yours. You rose. You reign. And death is buried in the grave. Hell could not defy your name. You rose. You reign. And every victory is yours. Every victory is yours. You rose. And you reign. And death is buried in the grave. Hell could not defy your name. You rose. You reign. And every victory is yours. Every victory is yours. You rose. See, you reign.
You reign.
And death. And you reign. See every victory.
Every victory.
Shout it out.
Everything.
See you reign.
Rose.
You
rose.
And you reign.
You reign.
Come on and shout it out.
Death is buried.
And hell could not defy your name.
You rose.
And you reign.
You reign.
See every victory.
Every
Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
In the Word of God, there is a type of prayer. It's called praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are two types of tongues in the Bible. You've got the tongues that are for the individual, for prayer and building yourself up in your most holy faith. That's found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 on the day of Pentecost, when they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that day, 3,000 men gave their heart to Jesus. That doesn't even include women and children. That's just dads. They figure up to 9,000 plus people gave their heart to Jesus the very first day of the church. There's another type of tongue that's in the Scripture, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's called the gifts of the Holy Spirit with tongues, with the interpretation of tongues. That is for the edification of the body. But one of the blessings of having private tongues is that the Holy Ghost will pray and intercede through you. And this is found in Romans chapter 8, where the Spirit will pray through you with groanings that you don't even understand. And I want to remind you that we are not a Baptist church. I'm not down in the Baptist, but we are not a Baptist church. We believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. We believe that Jesus still baptizes with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. God said that we build up our most holy faith as we pray in tongues. And so today, I know we have guests in the house, and we're not trying to freak you out, but I want you to know that this is a real thing. This is a God thing. And actually, they've done studies and proven that when somebody's praying in tongues, they've done neurological studies, that there's something happening that just does not make sense. It's supernatural. And today, I want to just take a few minutes. Pastor Phil, they started 5 minutes ago. So you know he's going to be singing really soon. And I just pray, we just need to pray in the Holy Ghost for the church. Amen. I'd like you to just start praying right out loud. If you're online right now in your living room, wherever you are, start praying in tongues. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, ask Him right now. I want your gift, Jesus. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. He'll fill you right where you're sitting. Jesus, we love you. Pray, oh God, move Holy Ghost. Move Holy Ghost in New Brunswick. Move Holy Ghost in St. John. Move Holy Ghost with Pastor Phil and Jamie. Holy Ghost, pray through us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Poshikiata, Romende, Ribishindia, Le Clecle, Ashoko, Rama, Ramando, Ribishikidiando. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Rodea Mandere, Bishikiando, Doko Reba, Rondo, Mashikiriamba, Tetere, Yamando. Hallelujah! We honor you, God. We honor you, God. Move, 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 Holy Ghost. Release you angels. Do your job. Oh God, protect your church. Protect your church. Protect your people. God, we pray for the government of Canada in Jesus' name. We pray, God, that Mr. Trudeau will get born again. That Jesus, he'll call on your name. That Father, maybe a message or a word that he accidentally saw on television or a relative gave him will spring up in his spirit and he'll confess you as Lord and Savior. Lord, turn Canada back to you. God, we just ask for that in Jesus' name. God, we pray for America. Father, we already see California setting up doing the same thing. We know New York is next. We've already heard God, our governor stand up and say in a church that everybody needs to be vaccinated and that we're all the apostles. That God wants, Father, she took your name and she twisted you. God, we pray for her salvation just like we did with Cuomo. God, you said pray for the leaders. We pray for President Biden, God, in Jesus' name. God, bring him to his knees. He's heard your gospel in the Catholic Church. God, bring him to a place of salvation. Pelosi, bring her to a place of salvation, Jesus. God, I pray for all, whether they be Republicans or Democrats or independents. Father, we need a government that's going to be after you again. Jesus, turn our nation back to you. God, we know prayer releases things. And we pray for our region. We pray for those that are in authorities in our area. God, if they don't know you, we pray for them right now. That God, they'll go to their knees and call on your name. Jesus, before that trumpet sounds, we want to see that great revival. We do know that persecution is part of it. And Lord, we pray that even as persecution does come, that your church will not fail. But we will put our shoulders back and our heads high as we are filled with the Holy Ghost. And God, we will show your name proud. For you are coming soon. Jesus, you are on the threshold. 11:59 and 59 and 59. You are coming home soon, Jesus. Lord, I pray that this church is ready. God, as you look at us, we're not just another church in a field. Lord, you'll say to us as a corporate body, well done. Our passions need to be your passions, Father, individually and corporately. I pray you shift us in Jesus' name, that our hearts will be after you. Holy Ghost, help us not to be distracted by life. Help us keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That we will not just start this race, and we will not just finish this race, but we'll finish it strong. For your name's sake, and everybody said, amen. Amen. I have never been a political church, will never be a political church, but it is a time to stand and declare the word. Amen. The church, we have always held a position in shifting government, and it's not by taking up arms. It's by taking up knees. You want our government to change? We need to get some calluses on our knees. Amen. We need to pray more. Because all the battles that are fought, we're going to learn it this morning. All the battles that are fought first start in the spirit. They don't happen in the flesh. Amen. I love you. Can you do me a favor? Now, remember that not everybody's comfortable yet, so just ask people, be honorable to people, and if someone asks you not to hug them or shake their hand, that's not a problem. That's not an issue. Love them from afar. They're your brothers, they're your sisters. Amen. We honor and respect each other. We are family. Say amen. Amen. So go find somebody you don't know this morning. Shake their hand and say, good morning. Good morning. You look just marvelous today. You look marvelous. You got a great beard.
HT Cares.
HT Cares. So you've got HT Cares and the group's ministry covered this morning, and we welcome you. Hello, hello, hello. Who is out there and where are you tuning in from?
We're going to
check the notes here to see who we have. We have Lisa Bruno Rhodes. You are on today. We have Pastor Andre on, Kelly Marie. Who else do you see on there?
Jennifer, Anna Marie, McCoffney, Rosalind Jeter. Good morning, you guys. So glad you attend us today.
Type in where you are tuning in from. Let's see what cities we have covered. What states do we have covered? You don't even know what nations do we have covered today. It is so good to see you. I'm glad that you are here live with us today, but we would love for you to be in the house when you can be in the house too. So know that we are here at 9 and 11 a.m. and we are, the doors are open. Who else do we have? Jody Smith says good morning with a smiley face.
Jody.
Yes! Good morning, Brittany. I saw Brittany Day. Brittany Day is there. Who else do you see? Anyone else?
Tammy Johnson. Happy birthday, Tammy Johnson.
Happy birthday to my pal. I won't sing the whole thing, but we love you. Don't get me started. Rosalyn, good morning. Good morning. You look stunning the other evening. Thank you so much. Yes, we have quite the crew that's on this morning. Anyone else?
Come on, everybody. Let Jesus know how glad you are to be up this morning. Let Jesus know how glad you are in his house. Come on, everybody. Let's see who's out there. Come on.
You know what we have to look forward to? We have Harvest Fest coming in. Who do we have? Charmaine, I see you. Brittany Day, Tammy Johnson. Everybody's typing in. We got lots of bubbles popping up on the screen. But yes, we have some amazing things coming up for the holiday season. Can you believe that we're already into fall?
Matthew Larson.
Oh, the Larson, Matt Larson. Yes, Crystal's here. Kevin Jackson, of course. There he is. He's here every day. Melody, Tiffany, Tucker. I love you. Kelly Marie. Yes, we see you. We love you, too. We're trying to, like, focus on the camera and focus on the comments. We are the techies of this ministry right here. So we are blessed to be here with you today.
Yeah, they picked the right ones to do this morning.
Oh, they did. They really did. I mean, we're...
Just a little bit.
We are people. So what's coming up? So many cool things. Harvest Fest. The kiddos need to be sugared up for Harvest Fest. So don't forget Harvest Fest. Join us. You can decorate an area with the theme, or you can bring in some candy. Know that that's coming. And of course, then we have Thanksgiving right around the corner. But you know what I saw? And Lowe's Christmas decorations.
Yes, we have some at home right now. My wife and I, we're going through this struggle now because she loves Christmas so much. And being the husband that I am, I have to support it. Before we get away, I want everybody to remember this is Pastor's appreciation. Get online. Let Pastor know how much you appreciate him and Pastor Rhonda. Who is this?
Yes, Faith.
Sister Faith. You know I miss you with helping in my ministry. Come on out to the house of the Lord and give us some more help, Sister Faith.
And you know, Charmaine, we're lifting you up in prayer. We're looking for you to run the next mile, girlfriend. We see you. We see you, and we love you. Oh, Kathy Mailer. Good morning, Kathy. So good to see you. Like, the music's coming down. Does that mean they're going to take us off? Are they going to take away our mic? I'm not sure yet. But if they do, just know there's so many great things coming up this fall season. Are we good? We're off?
Isn't it good to know you're not all by yourself? Isn't it good to know that people love you and care for you? You know what? I got great news, too. Jesus loves you more than anybody else on this planet ever could. I'm excited to be part of the kingdom of God. I'm excited to be part of our family right here. And I thank God for you. Amen? Can you turn to someone and say, I thank God for you? You might not even know their name. But you don't ever know what their impact is going to be in your life. Isn't that the exciting part? God will use them to change your life. I'm waiting for my wife. Here she comes. Hello, beautiful. Isn't she a beautiful woman? All two people clap. Thank you. You are hot.
All right, thank you.
I really just want to kiss your neck right now.
No, stop. Good morning. It's such an awesome day to be in the house of the Lord. This is the time of the service for our tithes and offerings. In this house, it is with great joy that we give. We get to hear testimony. testimony after testimony of God's faithfulness on those that tithe and sow in his kingdom. Malachi 3 tells us, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Test me in this and you'll see. And even in Matthew, Jesus says in red letter, you tithe this you ought to do. So we in this house give with great joy. And so if you're ready this morning to give, stand to your feet. We make a supernatural declaration. It's simply the Bible. It's found in Deuteronomy 28. And we know in Isaiah, it says, when the word of God goes forth, it performs what it is sent to do, and it does not return void. So I get excited every week when I get to speak the word of God over my finances, and the word of God goes forth and performs, raises, promotions, blessings, increase, prosperity, all of those things we declare over our money, and it does not return void. So say this with me. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, don't miss out. Give right along with us. Go on histabernacle.com, the giving link, or text to give right along with us.
Love it when I get to take the mic away from Pastor. We love you. It's fun. We love to pick on him. It's one of the ways we get to show honor because, well, it's also sowing and reaping because he picks on all of us too, right? So the reason I stole the mic is because today is National Pastor Appreciation Sunday. So really, they made it last the whole month. So, but we're just, it's being recognized today, Sunday, October 9th. The churches all over the country are participating with this celebration of our pastors. And so we're going to make sure that we participate that with that as well. So the scripture that I'm going to share with you today regarding honoring our pastors is Romans 12:10. And Romans 12:10, I love this. In the English Standard Version, it says, love one another with brotherly affection outdo one another in showing honor. And so we're going to do just a brief little exercise. I want everybody to stand up, because one way that we honor people is that we stand up in their presence, correct? It's part of our tradition. So we're standing up to honor our pastors. Now, the second thing I want you to do to honor them is this. I want you to, we're going to give the Lord a shout of praise in thanks for our pastors. But here's the challenge. The word says outdo one another. So you better shout louder than the person standing next to you, because we're going to obey the word in outdoing in honor for one another, okay? So on the count of three, this is a shout of praise to the Lord for our pastors. One, two, three. Thank you, Jesus, for our pastors. We honor you, Lord. They are a gift to us, and we thank you, Jesus, for them. So here's instruction number three. It says, outdo one another in showing honor. The Passion Translation says, try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. So here's my challenge. Many times this becomes a religious rite that we just throw something in the plate because we're honoring our pastors. But that's not what we're here to do today. I want you to outdo yourself in honoring whatever you've already done to honor them. Do it bigger. Do it bigger because they deserve it. Do it bigger because the bigger we get, the more they give. The bigger, and we're getting bigger. There's no limit to the kingdom. And every time we get bigger, it puts more on them, and they rise to the challenge every single time. Do they not? So I'm asking you to rise to the challenge. Outdo yourselves and outdo one another. We're taking an offering, and I want you to prepare a gift right now for our pastors that shows honor upon honor, outdoing yourself and outdoing the person. Make it a competition. I don't care. Peek at the check next to you. Say, oh, I got to give more than they do. Seriously, just give, and give big because they give big to us. So take a minute. We're going to pray. I'll give you a minute to fill out your envelope. There's envelopes in the backs of the seats. If you make out a check, make it out to Pastor Michael Spencer. You can give on Cash App. Their cash tag is $ Pastor Spencer. And you can give on a card. If you need to fill it out on an envelope, just mark it on Pastor Appreciation. And text to give is 84321. And the short code, put your amount in and type pastor. And that will all get directly to them, okay? So, what? So as they play and sing, Father, we love you. Lord, we know that this seed is going into good ground and we can expect a ginormous harvest. God, as we outdo each other and ourselves in showing honor, we ask that you, Lord, honor our pastors as well. We know that you do because your word says. And so, Lord, spur us, bring a harvest, God, and let them feel blessed and loved like they never have before. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and bring your offerings up.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease.
Come on.
For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Come on.
I've been told for years that I can't dance, and I agree with them. Amen. Praise the Lord. My wife and I want to say thank you so much. You know, this used to be probably one of the most uncomfortable services when they did pastor appreciation service. But then I had to learn something, and that is, and we do it with our bishop and with our oversight as well, is that when you sow into those that are sowing into you, you cannot outgive God. And so, well, I used to feel so uncomfortable because it's like the body of Christ is blessing us. And then I realized that when I understand what that actually means is that you are going to get blessed. In fact, we already heard a testimony. Somebody already got back more than what they sowed on Friday night. And it's power. That's the power of learning how to sow. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a sower. Amen. God's word does not lie. If you believe in salvation, you believe in tithing, sowing, and reaping. Amen. If you don't believe in salvation, then you don't have to believe those other ones. But if you believe in salvation, these others work. It's in the same Bible. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jen. I said, it's in the same Bible. Amen. Do you like my cup? Isn't it an amazing cup? Are we going to move like the tank out so we can see it? I think that's cool. You guys got it? Isn't that neat? I'm so excited what God is doing in your lives. And we've been talking about being fortified. As we're moving forward, we've got to know we've got to be fortified. Right now, literally right now, I just got a text from Pastor Phil. The church is literally surrounding their pastor as he's preaching the gospel. Isn't that cool? I'm so blessed by them that they're willing to stand and stand there for. You know, it's one thing. I remember when they threatened to put us in jail and they said, if we open our doors, it's a $15,000 fine per service and or jail. And I looked at my wife and I said, I have to make a decision whether or not I want to go to jail or not, because this is real. And I looked at my wife and I said, well, you know, this is the very first time I've actually, you know, I've been punched in the face for Jesus. But I've never like had to say I'm going to go to jail for Jesus or not. And you know, it's a different thing when you realize persecution and you realize that now you have, come on, resistance in front of you. It's one thing to see it happen to somebody else. It's another thing when it happens in your own life. And I had to make a decision. And my sons, you know, I love my sons, but my son said, Dad, we hope you get arrested. And, you know, I wasn't in agreement with that in any way, shape, or form. But I thank the Lord that he spared us. I thank God for our local officials, and I do. I want to give a shout out to our local officials who stood behind us. We could have gotten a $15,000 fine for every service, and we went into civil disobedience, and we remained open for 9 weeks when we weren't supposed to be. That's a lot of money. Amen. And I thank God that our local officials recognized the honor that we had for them and for the community, and that we never had anybody get sick from the church, per se. People in the church were sick. They got COVID, but we never had a spread or anything like that here. So I just want to thank God for them and thank God that I didn't go to jail. Amen. And so Pastor Phil is being surrounded. Literally, his entire congregation is surrounding him right now as he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last night he called me and he said, Pastor, because remember Friday, was it Friday he was in court? Yeah, Friday he was in court. And then Saturday night, last night, he came down with a sickness, man. I'm talking like he was laying out in bed. He said, I feel so sick. And I said, get ready, young man. That's just another level of attack to try to get you out of tomorrow morning. I said, you better get ready. Come on now, let's fight this fight. Get some rest tonight. You're going to get up and you're going to feel great. And man, God is using him right now in New Brunswick, Canada. I'm very excited what the Lord is doing. We also want to give a shout out to our church that we're launching in Uganda with Pastor Isaac. They have now, for the last 2 weeks, they've lifted the restrictions, and we're going to be helping him launch the church in Uganda. As well as January 22nd, we just got we are going to be launching the church in Florida, his Tabernacle Family Church in Florida. Just this week, I got another phone call from a guy from my Bible college. Now, I've been out of Bible college at least 2 weeks. And And so he called me on the phone and he said, I'm interested. We're going to launch a church and I'm interested in working under your banner. So that would be our second church in New Jersey that we'd be ministering at. And so it's very exciting as God is enlarging the vision and we're not doing anything. There are now, let me see, we've got, let's count with me, ready? We've got Horseheads, Ithaca, Mansfield, New Brunswick, Canada. We've got affiliates of the church that the pastors are working with us, and that is in Indiana. His son is here this morning, Indiana. And then we also have Kentucky. We have West Virginia. We have one and a half in New Jersey. And then we have four in Mexico. What are we up to? And one in Uganda. And in Florida. 14 and a half churches. I think I need a vacation. Hallelujah. So keep your pastors in prayer. That's a lot because we're responsible to all those pastors. We're responsible for praying for them, standing in the gap for them, helping them be successful. And so it's a lot. God's doing phenomenal things. And I'm believing God by Christmas that there'll be 1,000 people at His Tabernacle Family Church every single Sunday morning. So I need you to fill your role. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to fill my role. That's right. Going to get your own role. Josh Fuchsman filled two roles already. Man, it's time to fill your role with souls. Fill your role with people that you know need God or need to grow in Christ. So we've been ministering. This is our second week on the theme of fortified. And last week we started talking about what to do when things start happening that are bad. Now, many people, what they do when things start happening when they're bad is they literally, it's called psycho-cybernetics, they literally go backwards and start living their old lifestyle. We need to recognize that God has never called you to go back, especially when there are problems. All two of you, glory to God. I said, especially when there are problems. When there are trouble, when trouble is coming our way, we have got to recognize that God gave us what we need to succeed. And in that, retraction is not an option. Going back to the world is not an option. Go hanging out with your buddies and drinking is not an option. Amen. Grabbing a bowl and smoking some weed is not an option. Amen. Say amen. Amen. I said, say amen. Amen. What's that new stuff? Now, let's just keep moving. Nah. This is new drink. Yes, mother. Did you hear her? Just keep moving on. It's time to recognize going backwards is not going to do anything for your life. Now, I do want to say this morning. I did not write this sermon. Now, many of you know we are a one-voice church. One voice means that pretty much all the churches are preaching the same message. And so wherever you go to a His Tabernacle Family Church, you're going to hear the same message. But it's important to know that I didn't write this message. Pastor Chad wrote this message. Amen. And this series is awesome. And so we need to recognize that in our process, that God has us fortified, that no matter what weapon is formed against us, it cannot prosper. Unless you're not ready for it. Unless you're not prepared for it. Unless you turn and run. Come on now, tell somebody, running is not an option. We recognized last week that the battle is coming. Whether you like it or not, there's a battle coming to your life. That threats are always bigger than they actually are. Say amen. Amen. And the fact is the question that comes to all of our thresholds is, how are we going to hold up? What is going to be the aftermath? What is it going to look like when the dust clears? My wife and I have said this for many years as we've had other ministers and we've had other people come against us and come against us strongly and make false accusations against us. My wife and I have always said this one thing. Hey, when the dust clears, we'll still be standing. And I want you to know that that is something you've got to get into your spirit, because the more fortified you are, no matter what happens in your life, you'll still be standing. And after I've done all I can do to stand, I will stand therefore in the power of His might. Not your might, it's the might of God Himself. God's got a plan for you that is supernatural. But if you're running, you're not going to be able to reach where God wants to take you. You can only go back to where you once were. And I want to remind you why you left there once before. You left there because you recognized it was not fulfilling. You left there because you recognized that the booze did not meet the need. You left because you recognized that that boyfriend or girlfriend were just for service. You recognize that smoking the weed, man, it just gave you just a little bit of happiness, but then, baby, you had to smoke some more. You recognize that that glass of wine might have gave you peace for about an hour or two, but then, baby, you had to wake up again. Going back to the world is not an option. Turn to someone saying, going back is never an option. God is fortifying me. You see, there are many different types of battles. There are financial battles. There are times when financially, and we're now dealing with a bunch of folks that are literally, I think 80 people lost their jobs at the Arnott this last week. We have folks that are in the social services that have lost their job this week. We have other people that are losing their jobs because they're not willing to get the shot. It's amazing as now they're being, listen, I just hail all the nurses and all those that are in the medical profession that literally served without that, and they called you champions, and now they're getting you out of your job. I'm praying for you. And I believe that God is going to make a way, especially if you're a tither and a seeder. God has to. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Maybe you're starting a new company and you started to see things shaking and rolling and rocking. And you're saying, God, I'm a tither and I'm a seeder. What's going on with my business? Maybe it's relational. Maybe it's your family. Maybe, man, you're in the throngs of divorce, or you're in the throngs of feeling rejection. I want you to recognize that that is a real battle that happens in our lives. How about the battle of your faith? Remember, I want to remind you, we're not fighting the devil. He's already defeated. I said, we're not fighting the devil. He's already defeated. I said, we're not fighting the devil. He's already defeated. Jesus made an open show of him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And Jesus made an open show and took away the keys of death and hell of the devil. And we have the victory in Jesus' name. You see, the fight that we're fighting is called the good fight of faith. That is remaining in faith, remaining fortified in how Christ has made us. There are many believers that believe enough in God not to go to hell. That's not enough. Say that one more time. There are a lot of folks who are saved just enough to get out of hell. That's not enough. You need to be fortified to a position that when the rounds start hitting the tank, they're going to bounce off. And if you're not ready, the battle is coming. And you're going to have to deal with these things. And some of you aren't going to make it. Pastor, you're supposed to prophesy good things. Fact is that churches over, literally, most churches, and thank God ours does not, but literally rotates 30% a year. And many churches, when you start talking about people that are saved, even in our church, we've got high numbers, but about 50% of the people that give their heart to Jesus in this house stay serving God. But that means that 50% don't. The average church in America sees one soul saved a year. We see at least the church added to daily. But here we're in a position where we've got to recognize that this is not a game. If you are alive today, come on now. If you don't recognize it's not a game by now, you need medication. Because even the worldly people know something's going on. I was just talking to someone just the other day, and their friend who's not born again is talking to them about the end times. And he said, man, you know what? I don't know a lot about it, but I think we're like close to the end times. Even the world is recognizing it. But yet many of the church folk have our head driven so far into the sand. And man, we aren't standing up for Christ. We've got to wake up and get fortified. Because when the attack comes in your life, not the question of when, but when, are you going to remain standing or are the bullets going to take down your tank? And that is not God. Come on now. It is not God who will not protect you. He has provided for us everything that we need to succeed. But if we choose not to, then we are going to be in the position of failing. And our failing is not something that's temporal. When you fail in your relationship with Jesus, that is eternal. It's a long time. It's not vacation. It's not I'm going to party with my friends. It's not hey, we'll have a bud together down in hell. No, baby, when you're there, you're all by yourself. You're being tormented for all of eternity. This is not a game. If there's ever a time for the church to shake themselves and wake up, it's now. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
The next thing that's going to happen in a battle is to get your purpose. You see, if you have no purpose, you have no direction. If you have no direction, you're lost. And God has direction for your life. God has purpose for your breath. You are alive today for a reason, not sucking air, but you are alive for a reason to do mighty things for the kingdom of God. No matter where you are, no matter where your job is, God placed you right where you are to do great things for him. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 17 says this, finally, by shout finally.
Final.
What does finally mean?
Final.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this world's darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. Didn't say the part armor. It said the Come on, that means you can only take parts sometimes. If he didn't turn around and say, take on the full armor of God, it means that you could take parts of the armor and put them on, but it's not going to protect you. I want to remind you when we start talking about the armor of God, there's only one place that is completely unprotected. Do you know where it is? Your backside. So when you turn and run, you are an open target for the devil. That's why running is never an option. Turn to someone and say, running is never an option. Giving up is never an option. Come on now. I'm going all the way with Jesus. The Bible says, the full armor of God, so that when the days of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, having done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness arrayed, and your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Additional to all this, take up the shield of faith, which is to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have got to know the enemy. We don't got to study the enemy. But we've got to know the enemy. We forget many times because we are so fleshly driven that everything is spiritual first. That when trouble comes in your life, if you deal with the trouble just on a natural realm, that you are usually going to lose. Why? Because we fight not against flesh and blood. Demons are real. I said, demons are real. Just a few weeks ago, I gave you the testimony. My wife and I were up with Brother Ted. and she was literally feeling. She called me at 6 p.m. in the evening, just before the service. She was in the hotel room, and she's crying, and she's saying, I've never been in this much pain in my entire life. She said, I have pain in my shoulder and on my side. She said, I can't breathe. It feels like knives stabbing into my chest. She said, can you pray? And so I started praying, and then I texted Brother Ted and Sister Bonnie, who were in the same hotel, and I said, can you go down and pray with her before service? And Sister Bonnie went down, and Brother Ted sent his Bible that he'd been using. Remember, everything is spiritual first, called impartation. Say amen. With a word, because he's been preaching with it all year. It's not just the Bible, but it's been saturated with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the anointing is tangible and transferable. And that anointing breaks every yoke of bondage. Say amen. And so she laid that across, and man, it relieved enough so she could go to service. She went into service, and in the service, Brother Ted, halfway down his message, walked down off the pulpit, and he walked over to her, and he touched her on the head, and he touched her on the shoulder, and touched her on the side. If you watch the video, and we have the video, it looks like just barely touching her. And he goes, loosed in Jesus' name. And he turned around and finished his sermon. She said to me, it felt like he grabbed my head and was twisting me all up, punched me in the shoulder, punched me in the side. And she said, I actually feel bruised. But when she saw the video, she recognized he just barely touched her. And she said something to him afterwards. She said, it felt like you were brutal to me. And he goes, that was that demon hanging on. It was called a spirit of infirmity. And when he hit loose, immediately that demon came off her and all the pain stopped in her body. Demons are very real. We're now in Bible college. We're studying spiritual warfare, showing how real the demonic world is. And you know what? So many of you have experienced the demonic world. You don't even know it. You've gone to psychics. Psychics are demonic. You've had someone with Reiki lay hands on you. That's demonic. It's a releasing of demonic power into you by the laying on of hands. We can go and you've had your tea leaves read and you've had your palms read and you've done seances and you've sat back and you said, that stuff's real. Absolutely it's real, because demons are real, and the demons are powerful because they can know your present and your past, and they know that because they've studied you, and they can manifest themselves even in a familiar spirit. It's time to recognize that we have got to be fortified in these last days. We've got to know our enemy in these last days. The Bible says, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices, because we are literally in a warfare against the demonic realm. We have already won. But if you don't know it, you give in. The church has got to stop playing our religious games. Say amen. Some of you have been taken out at times by demonic spirits. Temptations that are so driven that you can't even control them. That's a demonic spirit. It's time to recognize the demonic in the world. And listen, now, I'm not saying that we give them the extra attention, but the Bible says don't be ignorant. And you don't blame the devil for some of the things you do. You know, you eat 20 candy bars a week and your heart blows up. Don't blame the devil. Say amen. So we've got to be fortified with our knowledge and our understanding of how the supernatural works, because we are tanks. Turn to someone and say, I'm a tank. Some of us more than others. Glory to God. But as tanks, we've got to recognize we are not only defensive, but we are also offensive. And in that, God has great things for us. Amen. We've got to know that we're built, and we're built for war. Come on. There is no reason to have the armor of God if you don't need it. There would be no reason for God to clad us with supernatural armor if there was not a necessity to use it. But how many Christians run around streaking? The streaking Christian. Sounds like a sermon. Running around with no spiritual warfare, no spiritual armor on in their life. They're not protecting themselves. They're not being wise in being a steward of God's plan for them. And therefore, they're out just pandering, meandering, and being lost and not fulfilling God's purpose for their lives. Why? Well, because they're not paying attention that this is a real warfare. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and rulers of darkness. That literally the demonic have a hierarchy under Satan that have jobs to work against us in this world. And they motivate, manipulate, and they twist and contort so that they can get people to walk away from God. This is a real warfare, but it's not a warfare that we fight. It's a warfare that we remind you lost. You know, we're still in Germany today. The United States Army is still in Germany today. We still have places there right now, and they're cocked and locked. These soldiers are ready. They're right there at all times. Why are they there? We already beat the Nazis over 50 years ago. Why are we there? To remind them it's never coming back. We've got to remind the devil he's lost. We've got to remind the devil that we are fortified if we choose to put on the whole armor of God. The belt of truth. This is the word of God. So many of us don't know the Bible. I'm going to tell you if you need rock solid faith or not. You ready? Here we go. Here's your test. Give me two verses that prove the Trinity, the triunity of the Godhead. If you don't know them, you need to be in rock solid faith. Give me two verses that prove that God is almighty. If you don't know them, you need to be in rock solid faith. This is not a time to be ignorant. This is not a time to be on your own. This is a time when we're fortified. We're fortified when we are working together. Like I said this morning, they're literally surrounding Pastor Phil while he's preaching the gospel. The other night when they broke into the church last Wednesday, when the Department of Health, the local police, and the federal police broke into the church, while they were having service, Pastor Phil was blown away as the people of God surrounded him and said, if you're going to get to him, you got to get through us. That's still just people. The fact is we don't fight against this flesh and blood. The fact is that there are many demonic spirits motivating these individuals to shut down the kingdom of God, saying that the kingdom of God is worthless. But without the kingdom of God, there's only one place that can happen, and that is the end times has to unfold if the church is no longer here. The Bible says very clearly in 2 Thessalonians that the restrainer, when it is removed, who's the restrainer? The church, the salt and the light. When the salt and the light are removed, immediately the great tribulation period will begin. That's why we're watching as the world is trying to literally muffle the body of Christ. And many of the church, we cower to the world. Persecution is not new. Hello. In the time of Nero, they would take your children. They would clothe them in animal skins. The Colosseum would be filled for entertainment. And they would take your babies and they would say, you recant your relationship with Jesus Christ, or we're sending your children out and they will be literally eaten and dismembered as they're alive in front of this entire Colosseum. Parents had to make a decision. Will I follow Christ to that extent? And majority of them literally let their children go out and get eaten alive by the wild animals right there in the time of Nero. In the time of England. If you were a Protestant, they did something to you. You became what we call the light of the night. They would literally take you and they would strap you to a pole, a light pole in the evening, and they would build a fire underneath you at night, and literally you would be burned alive. You would be the light of the road. Only for one reason: you love Jesus. You see, we need to be fortified. I'm not saying that this is going to happen in America, but I'm not saying it's not either. Some of us have a hard time living for God in peace. What's going to happen when persecution comes? If you're not going to get fortified in your walk with the Lord, If you're not going to get out, come on now, the belt of truth. If you're not going to get into the word of the Lord that builds your faith, you're going to struggle. Pastor Andrea's husband, and he was in Liberia when civil war broke out. He told me this himself. He and his family, they were put into a concentration camp. And they were in a concentration camp for so many years that the brother who was literally going to college right here in this area didn't hear from their family. I think it was over a decade. And he thought his whole family had been massacred. But they put him in these places, these little huts. And each night they would go to the hut and they would take out a man and they would take a machete and they would cut his arms off and cut his legs off and cut his head off as the family's sitting inside. Then they'd come in and they'd rape all the women. By the way, this is not that many years ago. And he said, they came to our place and my daddy started to fast and we started to pray. We knew it was that night that they were coming. And we started to call on the name of the Lord. Remember, everything is spiritual first. Remember, if you're going to get fortified, you are built from the inside out, not the outside in. And they started to pray and call on the Lord. And then they came to their hut that night. And number one and number two guy, they started to fight. They started to argue. And they literally skipped their hut and went to the next one. We've got to recognize that we've got to get fortified in these last days and stop playing Christianity. They say you're supposed to say that stuff with a smile. The Bible then turns around and says we have the breastplate of righteousness and we're in right standing for the perfection of the battle. We have our shoes of the gospel of peace on. And many times we think about that as literally that's salvation or evangelism. But it's not just that. If you look at the feet or the shoes of the Roman soldier, they literally had cladding underneath. Almost like, come on now, for those of us in the Northeast, they had studded tires on their feet. So that when the resistance, there they are right there. When the resistance started, they could literally plant themselves. And instead of going backwards where they're not covered, they were able to have grip and move forward. Come on now, changing what's in front of them. Because they refused to be a runner. They refused to go backwards. They said, I'm going forward, that no matter what the cost will be. And they had their feet shod for the preparation of the gospel of Christ. The Bible says that we have the helmet of salvation that is walking in our walk with the Lord, protecting our mind. Come on now. The Bible says very clearly that we have to take into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise us up against God. We have the shield of faith, which will ward off every fiery dart of the devil, which means he's going to take his pot shots at you. The Bible says we have the sword of the Spirit, which is not only offensive but defensive, to destroy the works of the devil. Even though we have all of this, the majority of people in the body of Christ in America, now listen, I love Americans. I'm American. But a lot of us have never been fortified because we've chosen only to be Christianettes. Amen. Amen. We've chosen to serve the Lord halfway, just enough of a way so we can get to heaven, but not get fortified enough to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy. Amen. And we have to make choices in our spiritual life. We have to make choices in our spiritual life. Whether I'm going to be all in for God or I'm not. And a lot of folks are not. You know what the scary part is? Can you imagine if the trumpet of God sounded right now and you're still sitting in your chair? Can you imagine if the trumpet sounds, if all of a sudden the Bible says, as it says in Thessalonians, the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Encourage one another with these words. Well, that's encouraging if you're right. But if you're not right, and right now that trumpet sounded, how many of you would be still sitting here? Because you've never chosen to fortify your relationship with Jesus Christ. You only want it enough to feel good. You know, this is a whole group of people, man. They stop coming here, and I'll tell you why. Pastor, I just want to feel good when I go to church. I want to feel good. I want you to feel good, but I want you to make it. When my kids were playing football, they tortured my children all summer long. They would do the running, and they was like in the middle of the summer, and they're wearing their helmets, and they're working, they're doing the sit-ups, they're doing the push-ups, they're doing the runs. Why? They were preparing them for the victory during football season. Man, God wants you to be prepared and fortified, because there really is a real devil, and we really do have victory, but if we don't get fortified, then we won't know enough to pick up the shield of faith. We'll just run back where we came from and wondering, where's God? God, where are you? Lord, I can't see you. Lord, don't you care? God is saying, care? I gave you every bit of spiritual capability to kick the devil in the head, because I already have, and I'm going to give you more than you could ever imagine. But if you don't pick it up, what can I do? Worse yet, if you don't know that it's there for you, what can you do? Listen, we're a teaching church here, and I am pushing Rock Solid Faith this morning. You need to join Rock Solid Faith. If you can't get here in person, you need to get online every Tuesday. And we might be shifting it to Thursday night. But at least on every Tuesday night right now for a while, you need to focus and get yourself trained. You need to get yourself fortified in the word of the Lord. You need to get ready. You need to get going. You need to grow up in Christ. Can I hear an amen? You need to mature in your relationship with Jesus. Can I hear an amen? You need to grow your faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to be fortified, for there is a real devil. He is really defeated. But if you don't stand, the only thing you can do is run. And running is not an option. Turn to someone and say, running is never an option. Tell somebody else, I'm not a runner. Tell somebody else, I'm never going back. Our reaction when the war starts to get hot is really where our faith level is. You've heard my wife and I teach this many years, and that is, your faith is a theory until tested. Until you have a real hard time, a real battle in your life, you really don't know where your faith level is. But let me tell you something. You're wise to build your tank now. Some people said to me, well, you know, I went to Rock Solid Faith 4 times. But if you can't answer those questions, you need to go again. The fact is that it doesn't matter how many times you've gone to Rock Solid Faith. You need to be hearing the word at least twice a week. Well, I listen online. If God wanted it online, he'd have made it back when Jesus was here. We got a blessing right now, but that's not what that's about. Listen, if I could get away with it, I'd shut off online. And I would, because then the people online would have to make a decision. Am I going to go to the house, or am I going to die? We got to recognize that in these last days, we've got to get more fortified than we've ever been before. We've got to get and learn how to pray. We've got to learn how to cast out devils. We got to learn how to bind spirits. We've got to learn how to pick up the shield of faith. We got to learn how to wield that two-edged sword. We've got to learn how to stand. And after we've done all we can do to stand therefore, we've got to learn that faith in Jesus Christ will move mountains. We've got to learn that with Jesus, I can do all things. If God is for me, who can be against me? But if we don't learn it when the problems come, we're not going to be fortified, and they're going to hit us with a missile that's going to destroy the tank. Yep. And God has called you to be successful all the way through. If you only pick up your Bible on Sunday to bring it to church, you're not going to make it. Boy, I didn't get any amens on that one. Pastor Cody gave the stats last week. A person that reads their Bible 3 times a week, there's no change in their life. 4 times or more, they start seeing a change in the person's life. If you never pick up your Bible, you can't be fortified. If you come to church just when you're interested, you can't be fortified. Well, I can read the Bible myself. I don't need church. Then Jesus is a fool. If you don't need church, then Jesus is a fool. Because who started it? Jesus started it. Who's the head of it? Jesus is the head of it. Why would Jesus start something if it was not needed? And baby, in these last days, just as we're seeing people literally surround Pastor Phil this Sunday morning as he's preaching the Bible, we need to be one family, move with one heart, move with one soul. We got a lot of job to do. Can I hear it? Amen. There's a lot of people in this region that are not going to heaven, and the church has to stand up and start being bold enough to share the gospel and even be persecuted and say, God, it doesn't matter what they say against me. My wife and I have so many rumors around here. I mean, there some of them are really good, and I'm taking more as prophecy than lies. I mean, they said we have two jets, we have one helicopter, we have a Lamborghini, we have a lake house worth $1 million on the, you know, and what else do we have? I mean, it just really cool. I mean, we're just saying, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Let them prophesy into our lives. I don't think anybody ever said I got a yacht, so I got a fishing boat, though. Someone did say I had a duck boat. I had one. I had to sell it to get my kid married in South Africa. My wife promised me a new one. I still haven't seen it manifest as of yet, but we'll talk about it. That's a whole nother topic and a whole nother sermon. I know this. Jesus is coming. He's coming sooner than you realize. There's nothing left to be fulfilled. Christ can come today before the end of this service. The question isn't just that you're going. The question is, what are you doing until you go? How are you impacting in the supernatural? Or are you always in defense mode and never changing forward? Some of you have literally gone back to the generational curses that you came from. And you can't understand why it's hard to come to church. I'll tell you why. Because you retracted, and the enemy is louding over you. He is rejoicing over you. He is rejoicing. He don't care if you get to heaven as long as you don't take nobody with. But you're a world changer. God has things for you. And in this room right now, I got to end. The question is simple. Are you fortified? Or are you just satisfied? Are you moving forward? Or are you a runner? Are you going to see victory? Or are you going to cower and complain and whine and moan? Well, you know, the pastor. You know you're not living right. Come on now, because I'm not preaching bad doctrine. If I am, you come show me in the scripture. I'll stand up on the pulpit and I'll apologize not only to the people that are in this room, but everybody online. Well, the pastor. You've got to start picking on the pastor. That means you ain't right. It means you're not willing to look at your own life and transition you. This is where we change. We're a change church. I said, we're a change church. Amen. I think next week the chairs might change. You never know. Jesus has great plans for your life. Don't you settle for junk. Amen. Don't get shot in the back because you're always running away. It's time to get fortified. Amen. You need to get to rock solid faith. You need to get to one of the other Bible studies that we have here in the church. You need to be faithful to the house of God. You need to be a tither. Amen. You need to obey God. And baby, when the attack comes, when you're ready, fear can't get a hold of you. You know our story over the last 3 years. It's been very challenging. But the only reason we're still standing is not because we're great people, but because we were smart enough to fortify before the war came. Yeah. Pastor Cody said it last week. If we're getting ready for war as America, we don't wait until the war breaks out to start an army. We're prepared right now. If something happens, men and women are willing to lay their life down to protect freedom in America. And they've been trained. If you looked at your life, it's nobody else's business but yours. I'm just asking questions. If you looked at your personal life, if a serious trial came to your life, if the enemy came to your life to kill you, if the enemy came to your life to destroy your family, if the enemy came to your life to destroy your finances, if the enemy came to your life to destroy your faith, would you have to prepare when it showed up, or would you already be ready? And watch, don't rely on yesterday's food to feed you today. Don't rely on yesterday's faith to strengthen you for the now. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Your faith now is what matters, not back 20 years ago. Where would you be? Are you fortified? Are you a tank? Are you up here? Or are you down there? Are you in? Come on now. Are you in Christ? Or are you just looking up, hoping it works? No one can answer that but you. No one can fortify yourself but you. Nobody can change forward but you. We can blame everything and anybody, but it's just us. Where are you? Where are you? Bow your heads with me this morning. I went long. I really could preach another hour. My question is this. Where are you? Be honest with yourself. The greatest deceiver is not Satan. The greatest deceiver is us. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh,